Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Good morning. It is Thursday, April 18th. It is 6 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So, Rob, what's everybody talking about this morning?
You and I went back and forth on this, and you said, what do you want to start the show with today? And I was torn on this because I really do hate to give this guy any publicity or attention. Uh-huh. However, this is so weird, and it is so creepy, and I think we need to lead with it because it is one of the most unprofessional things I've ever seen a journalist or columnist or whatever do in the history of ever. And it is a prime primo example of why the paper of record in this city is completely in the toilet, because they have guys like him. They have made guys like him the star of the show.
Okay, so what happened yesterday? The Indiana Fever officially introduced Caitlin Clark, number one overall pick in Monday's WNBA draft.
Certainly the most famous athlete in the country right now, arguably the most famous person in the country right now.
Yeah.
And it is a huge boom for the city. It is a huge uplifting thing for a professional basketball franchise that is in immense trouble. There is potentially hundreds of millions of dollars of economic impact that will be felt over this. It is like roll out the red carpet. What a great stroke of luck for the city of Indianapolis, for that franchise. And here you are, Caitlin Clark. Welcome to the city of Indianapolis.
Yeah, so she was there with the press taking questions with the new head coach, who she just met, by the way, Christy Sides, and they were taking questions. And of course, Greg Doyle from the Indy Star, he decided to speak to both women, and it started off cringy and just got worse.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll get along just fine. So,
okay, so let's stop. Okay, so what you can't see is he is making his hands in the symbol of a heart.
Yeah.
And that, once you have that information, so I wanted to play the audio first, because the audio itself is awkward and creepy and weird. Then when you couple in that you have a grown-ass man who I think is your, not to in any way date you, but is old enough, is your age. You're very similar in age, I believe.
From what I can find out, he is my exact age, and Caitlin Clark, I know, is my daughter's exact age.
So he's very clearly old enough to be this woman's father. I don't know, maybe she has met, although I think he introduced himself, so they probably have never met before. You are the columnist at the paper of record in the city in which this woman will not only be performing her craft, but is arguably the most important thing to happen in this city since Andrew Luck was drafted. Maybe you could make a case since Peyton Manning was drafted. And that is your opening salvo to her, is you're going to make your hands in the shape of a heart and you're going to sound like this? Can you play that again?
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. So,
start doing it to me. Make your hands in the shape of a heart.
And we'll get along just fine.
Okay, so I'm gonna say, Casey, in this segment, you are the expert witness, because you are a woman, and while you have not achieved the level of fame or popularity that Caitlin Clark has, you are a public figure, you are in the public light, you do broadcast yourself and your life to the masses each day. You're older than Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
If a man you don't know had done that to you at your age, which is more advanced than Caitlin Clark's. Tell us how that would have made you feel.
Yeah.
Much less she's a 21 or 22 or whatever 22. Year old, 22 year old woman. You go. The floor is yours, Casey.
Okay. So when I first saw this, I thought I was blown away by how Caitlin Clark handled it.
I thought it was great.
She held her composure, and we made that point, I believe, 3 days ago, how well she is handling the media, how well she is handling the press. Keep in mind, she is 22 years old. She still has to go back to Iowa and walk in her college graduation. So that's where she's at in her life. She has spent the past 4 years on a college campus. She goes into the professional world and she is greeted with this guy who is doing the heart hands. Okay, is he trying to relate to her? He's trying to ingratiate himself to her.
That's weird though, isn't it?
Trying to do something that she does. She points out, yeah, that's something I do to my family. When she's on the court, this is her Carol Burnett ear tug to her family, meaning I'm thinking of you. I know you're here in the crowd. I'm getting your support. You're supporting me. I love you.
And it would have been one thing if he would have asked the question of, done the thing and said, hey, what is this? Can
right.
you explain,
this to
right.
me? But I think everybody knows this is what she does to her family. And she says, yeah, that's what I do to my family. And then he goes on to say, I like that you're here. Okay. I'm excited for Indianapolis that you're here. The state of Indiana is so charged up of what you're going to do for basketball, what you're doing for the WN. No, I like that you're here. Creepy. Okay. And she, you know, adjusts the microphone. You can tell she's kind of wiggling like this is a little weird.
Okay, let me stop you real quick because you're a woman. So I am not qualified to say this, even though I observed this. She was very uncomfortable by this.
You could tell
okay,
her posture
you.
Changed.
Okay,
she's
thank
adjusting
you.
The microphone. She kind of looked down. And then he doubles down and says, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. Start giving him heart hands. He's gross for saying that. And I can tell you, I've seen that face 1,000 times at home because I have a 22-year-old at home as well. And she is thinking, oh, you're so cringy. But it's not about him. This is about her.
Right.
This is her day. What does she care what he has to say? Because this is him. Start doing it to me and we'll get along fine. He's trying to place himself in a position of power. He's trying to say to her, I'm the sports guy in town. You're the newbie. If you do this to me, we'll get along. He is trying to, it's manipulation, it's control, and it's power. And you know what? Good for her. She was having none of it.
You know, it's interesting, and I was thinking about this yesterday, that, and he's come out and issued this apology, but Tony did an excellent take
and
on this morning.
And again, making it about him.
He did, you're right, it's 100%. And he's trying to, like, he's part of the problem. No, dude, you are the problem. You're not part of the problem. Like, if Casey had been in there, or Kevin had been in there, or I had been in there, that wouldn't have been the question we would have asked. Though you're not part of the problem, Greg. You are the problem. Your behavior was the problem. That's weird, and that's creepy. They always try to lump it in as though it's some systemic thing that he was just enabling. No, you did it. Your own actions are the problem. You had, everybody knew for what, 2-3 months she was going to be drafted. You have all this time leading up to figure out what sort of question you're going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question you ask.
That's what it is. And you can tell from his social media leading up to that moment that it was like he was trying to get in with her.
Sure.
Like he wants to have access and he's the only one she should ever go to with any sort of media. And that's just not the case. The whole thing was uncomfortable. It was gross. And he just kept going with it all day.
Well, and
he loved it.
And people have now gone back in tweets that he has about that are in direct contrast or hypocrisy or whatever word you want to use based on the tweets he'd made before about people and how they apologize on Twitter. And they've exposed him for that. Look, this embarrassed the city and the state nationally. And if it'd be a conservative that had done this, you'd never hear the end of it. I mean, you've got Barstool, Outkick, all of these national organizations that have seen this bizarre behavior from Greg Doyle. And I just want to look. I just want to say this because I don't think I've ever met Greg Doyle in person, and probably never will meet the guy in person. But here's what I want to say: as somebody who grew up in this city, when I was a kid, the Indy Star was this, at least in my mind, and I think in many other people's minds, whether you were a child or an adult, this beyond reproach publication, where the people who worked there were the best in the business. They loved their craft. And even if you didn't agree with them, you believed that they took their job seriously and that they were about the truth and they were about opinion. Even the opinion pieces were thought-provoking, they were serious, and they were something that you could enjoy reading. And you look at what that paper has become. And I say this, and it's not good that it has become this, because their inability in many cases to put forward quality work has been very harmful, especially like down at the State House. And the thing about the Star is when they want to, they can actually put together really good stuff. The Indy Star still is capable. They still, you see them when they want to, when they put their mind to it. They put together quality journalism. They just did the piece on that Gabe Whitley guy and the veterans thing that was really well done. They did the research. They put it together. It was a well-written piece. But when the face of your paper, and they have made Greg Doyle the face of the paper, is Greg Doyle, people just tune you out. That guy's a joke. He's a clown. He's a grenade thrower. He's not even a good writer. Greg Doyle is the antithesis of everything the Indy Star used to be. Can you imagine Bob Kravitz getting, the first opening crack at Caitlin Clark and what he would ask? Can you imagine before him Bill Benner getting the opening crack at Caitlin Clark and what he would ask? And I think those guys' politics are different than mine. But I know they wouldn't do this. And as long as people like Greg Doyle are the face of the Indy Star, that paper is going to continue to be on the decline. People are not going to be taking them seriously. And that is going to be bad for the city of Indianapolis, because we need a thriving Indy Star in order to hold the powerful and the elected accountable.
I'd like to add a couple other things, Rob, that people are saying this would have never happened if this were a man. And I believe that. They would have not asked her, about heart hands. They would have asked, your vision. How's your play going to be affected with your new teammates? What is the plan for your game coming to the Fever? And you'll notice she was on the Pat McAfee show later in the day, and no awkwardness. They stuck to the athletics of the game, which is, I think, part of his success versus Greg Doyle's. I don't know Greg Doyle either. I feel sorry in a way for Caitlin that her introduction into Indianapolis and this new era of her career is now being overshadowed by this doofus for doing this. And then even later, Greg Doyle was asking the coach sides about, he says, you have the keys to the game now. What are you going to do? He said, you've got keys to that. He referred to Caitlin Clark as that, not her, not you've got keys to Caitlin. You've got keys to success. You've got keys to that. Like, she's an object, not even a human. He wasn't even looking at her as a person. He was looking at her as a way to elevate his own career, and it backfired. This is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. So we started off talking about the latest gaffes from Greg Doyle and the Indy Star. Maybe he just isn't getting enough sleep. That could be. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And I bring that up because for the first time in Gallup polling since 2001, a majority of U.S. adults, 57%, say they're not getting enough sleep. So the question is, how are you sleeping? Are you getting enough sleep?
Well, at the risk of just totally blowing this, I'm feeling pretty good because my kid has started sleeping through the night in her crib.
So that's a big moment.
It's a real parenting flex for me.
yeah.
And it's like you wake up and it should be the middle of the night and I should hear my kid screaming, and you look up and the kid is not only not screaming, she's on the baby monitor. And it's like 6 in the morning.
And the first couple times that happens, you get a little nervous. Like,
yeah.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Oh, oh, hey, and then it's time to celebrate the fact that she's sleeping through the night.
Here is
she's doing better than a lot of adults.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she, you get like 2 minutes of screaming, and then it's just, especially at night, it's, boy, last night was great, Casey. We kept her up all day. She took like one 30-minute nap, and I was like, she's going to sleep good tonight. She went out.
Like a light.
About 9:30, yeah. And when I left the house at 7 this morning, she was still out of it.
Oh, there you go.
Hot dang!
No wonder you're in a good mood today, because, of course, sleep will definitely affect your mood and your health as well. Now, this has been a decade-long role, because back in 2013, it was the opposite way. Most Americans said, yeah, I'm getting enough sleep, 8 hours, and that's what most people say you're supposed to get. But now it has reversed, and most people say they're getting between 5 and 6 hours of sleep a night. And this is especially affecting women, and especially mostly younger women. 36% say they're sleeping 8 hours.
Is it because they're stressed out? Or?
That's it, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because stress is the biggest contributor to it.
Now, do you, in your house, do mm-hmm. you sleep with the TV on? Do you have a noise machine? Do you need it to be totally quiet? What do you...
I do have the white noise machine.
Oh, do you do?
Yeah, I turn that on every night. I actually travel with it even.
Really?
It's just a little thing. Yeah, turn it on. And, you know, they say you're supposed to limit your screen time before you go to bed. I try that. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. But the blackout curtains, the white noise, keep the room nice and cool. All the things... try to limit the caffeine before, and yet still, last night, 1:30 a.m.
I have two...
blink, blink, wide awake.
Two things I have noticed. One, because I lived alone for so many years, I always sleep with the TV on, and I've noticed that I was never really able to get out of that habit. It's almost like some sort of, I don't know, security blanket, or lack of a better term. I'm self-diagnosing myself here, perhaps, on the air. But also, I saw an ad that they now have apps. You can buy apps for these noise machines where they make different...
Yeah, I've got
have
one
you
on
seen
my
this?
Phone. Yes, I use that occasionally.
You pay money for noise?
No, it's free.
Oh, it's free.
The one I have. And you can choose your different noise. It's like the white noise, the brown noise, the pink noise,
what
green
are you
noise.
Shaking your head at?
It's white noise.
You need complete quiet.
I need complete silence.
Yeah, there's an ad, and it runs on one of these streaming apps all the time where it's I assume it's a pay thing, and it has all different, like a gajillion different sorts of noises that you can fall asleep to.
So according to this Gallup poll, one of the reasons that they are concerned about depression in younger people is because of the lack of sleep. And just like how it was in 2013 when more people said, they were getting enough sleep, and now it's flipped that they're not. It's also flipped that now more men are sleeping better than women. And here's your white noise. See, that puts you to
sleep.
Sounds
like static.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what you listen to each night before you go to bed?
I hate this.
You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to fall asleep tonight. I'm going to take all of Kurt Darling's newscasts for the past month, and I'm going to splice them together into one super newscast, and I'm going to fall asleep to Kurt reading the news.
And he's up next, and we also have Jim Merritt on the way on 93 WIBC.
Property tax bill went up $1,000. Yeah, that's a thing. 93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob Casey's here, and oh my goodness, look who it is. One of the most beloved figures in the history of Indiana politics and government. 30 years in the Indiana Senate, the great Jim Merritt. Hello.
Good morning, Robert. That's not acceptable.
That's a thing. Like, I didn't stutter or say it incorrectly. Your parents' property tax bill went up $1,000.
Right. And they're in a zero lot line condominium type of thing. They own a postage stamp of property. And
that's insane.
It is insane. And it's not a
Were they paying zero before?
Well, just think about it. My mom and dad will be able to will appeal. And they can afford it, but just think about that. Those individuals that are on Medicare and they're on a limited budget, and they have my mom. It's not my mom and dad, but others that could be just thrown out of their home because they can't pay their property tax increases.
$1,000. That is insane. And when you told me that, when you initially sent me the message, I said he must mean 100.
Yeah, no, it's $1,000 and. And you know, what door do you go for the person who gets this in the mail? And what door do you go knock on
right.
to appeal? A lot of times people actually have to hire companies to appeal it for you. Then you're paying them
right.
to appeal it. So you're going to have some sort of extra expense. And sometimes the appeal will not be granted.
Here is, I think, the most frustrating thing about this is you now realize the Republican Party, the elected people in the state house, they're not fixing this.
No, they've had ample opportunity. They had a budget last year, and God bless Senator Travis Holdman. He has a commission that's looking at the whole taxing system of the state of Indiana. However, there should have been something in regards at least to putting a Band-Aid on the senior citizen home. You know, at least stave off the increases somehow. And I truly believe that you and I saw a tweet over just in the last couple of days about a state senator who we don't know. Somebody was tweeting at you that the state senator said that we don't have any control over this and it's a local issue. Well, no. It isn't a local issue. This is a state issue.
Okay, let's stop right there. Jim Merritt's with us because I was, you know, you're right. This is the defense that you'll get from the people at the state house. There's two defenses, and they both blow my mind. So you may know I have a long-running feud with the esteemed representative from Seymour, Jim Lucas.
He's my friend, but I think I'm right there with you.
You now realize that this guy has genuinely been convinced. Like if he is your state rep, Jim Lucas is now genuine. It took me several years to realize this, but he has now been, I don't know if it was hypnosis or what, but he is convinced that if you did any reform to property taxes, there would not be police on the street, firemen in the firehouses, and everyone would be in a one-room schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. And you realize how many of these other Mensa members down the street from us have also been convinced of this, that it's not even malicious at this point. They have so little idea of how it works or what's going on that they are convinced that if you do anything to property taxes, that society will just cease to exist as we know it. And that is crazy, Jim. So let's start with that, and then we'll go into the thing about the local stuff.
Okay, well, it's all about fear. It's all about accountability. It's all about this system is hard to understand. And when that difficulty stresses a legislator, they turn it off, and they kind of resort to Senator Travis Holdman to fix this, and they want to work on the issues that they enjoy that are relatively simple.
That's the thing. Okay, so again, I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is perfect. This is why you're the best. You were there for 30 years, and you're much nicer than me. So when you say it, people are more apt to listen. These people are so uninquisitive. They don't want to do the work to learn. They want to be in their comfort zone. So in Lucas's world, it's guns and weed. Oh, he'll spend 10 million hours on guns and weed. But in order to get to the bottom is you got work because it is complicated. And it's complicated by design because they know people like Jim Lucas won't put the work in because it's hard. And so they go to some other guy, in this case, Holdman or Thompson or whoever, and go, hey, man, can you figure this out for me? And then whatever mealy-mouthed, half-assed plan they come up with, they go, well, that's the best we can do.
Well, also, not all legislators do this, but if senators do this, I'm going to be very, very disappointed. But what a lot of legislators do is when you call their office, it goes directly to voicemail.
Yeah.
Because they have a rush of telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you call my office, you get me.
Yeah.
And I, of
sometimes
course,
you'll go to their door.
But the bottom line is you've got to be accessible. You've got to be accountable. And you've got to want to get in the weeds and do the work.
Jim Merritt's here. We're talking about property taxes. His parents' property tax bill went up $1,000. Okay, so that's the first part of it. And thank you. You know, being right is my least favorite part of this show, Jim. But the second part of this is the other excuse is, well, that's a local issue. And I say bull, because the state writes the laws by which taxes are levied. There isn't an assessment fairy that planted a seed in the back of the county courthouse and an assessor grew out of it. And that's how property taxes are decided. The state made that rule. It is not a local issue. It's a state issue.
Well, also, though, it's a spending issue. I believe that Marion County, since my parents' property taxes went up $1,000 and a large percent, that there's going to be a windfall somewhere.
Yes.
And there's going to be a windfall in county government, or there's going to be a windfall in Washington Township schools. And so there's pox on lots of houses.
What are these? You still have, really? I didn't ruin every relationship for you, did I?
Well,
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation about somebody with you the other day, and this is a very conservative person, and they said, you know, how you and Jim Barrett, there were so many things you didn't agree on, or, you know, they were talking about some things they didn't agree on with you. And I said, here's the thing about Jim Barrett, and this is why Jim Barrett is one of my favorite people in the whole world. Jim Barrett had every opportunity to bail on me over the years when he was still a very influential member of state government. And any person who ever said anything bad about me, he always sided with me. And I said, you will find no more loyal person than Jim Barrett. And that is all we should ever ask for out of our politicians.
Well, you know, somebody said something negative about Mike Pence to me the other day. And you've said it before as well. But, you know, what I said to him is, I knew Mike growing up. And, you know, I like Mike Pence. I think he's a stand-up guy. And that's not in all corners of the world. But I stick with my friends.
Yeah. I said, that dude, you can say whatever you want. There's been no one in that state house who's more loyal to you than to me than
and
you.
And I'm loyal to you, Robert.
Oh, you are, buddy. All right, so let's talk about something that you were very influential in, and it's saved a bunch of lives over the past many years. In fact, this is, I think, how you and I met.
Yes.
Was I was doing a local radio show in Hendricks County. This had just kind of become a thing. Mm-hmm. I'd reached out to you, and boy, it's been straight downhill for you ever since with B. But the Lifeline Law, right. It is... It is prom season. It is graduation season. Let's talk very quickly. If you have a young person in your home, listen to this. Make sure they know about this, because this could save lives. Tell us the Lifeline Law and why it's important.
2012, we passed a law. No one voted against it. And it's counterintuitive, because you're kind of in one score, you're thinking about enabling someone under 21 to drink at a party. What it says, what the law says that I wrote, was that if you're at a social occasion or two people, they're having alcohol and they're overserved, you can call or text, because you can text in 92 counties, Robert, and you can text 911, and no questions asked. If you stay and cooperate, you can get help for somebody that might die. And we've saved 55 lives in the last 12 years, among countless others that we don't know about. And I've spent a lot of times on college campuses and in middle school. I was in West Lane Middle School. And what I'm also going to start doing is talking with police officers to make sure they understand, if they come upon a social occasion where there's someone that has called 911, people stayed and cooperated and said, this person is in need of medical attention, that they have immunity.
Yeah, I that's saved just countless lives over the past 11, 12 years now. And people need to be reminded.
Well, there's always going to be a 17-year-old at freshman orientation, yeah, that first week on college campuses, that's going to make a mistake. And, you know, Robert, we talk about accountability a lot, but we also don't talk about people do mistakes, make mistakes. And in this situation, we need to save a life.
Yeah. I just, like you said, hey, and I just love the passion for it, because you had texted me and said, hey, I need to make sure we talk about this week. That's not a sexy thing.
No,
it's not. But from the moment you put this out there, you've always been so passionate about this. And I love that even all these years later, you're not a legislator. You don't get anything out of it anymore. No. You still want to make sure that these kids know, and more importantly, their parents know, because they will tell the kids that you need to save that life and you're going to be okay.
Well, I have kids that were on college campuses, three of them, and two at Hanover and one at DePaul. And they saw a lot. I have a nephew that was at IU. And so, you know, we saw a lot. And so I lived through their eyes. And I think it's important that everybody knows that if they have a nephew or niece or granddaughter or grandson, son, whatever, a family friend, make sure they understand the Lifeline Laws. So if they're in a situation And they need to have courage. They need to text 911 or call 911 and make sure you save a life.
The great Jim Merritt, you're the best. Okay, tell us.
Merritt in the morning. Yeah, we're having reliable energy on today. We're going to have the CEO from Community Health Network soon.
Oh, what a bunch of power players.
We're having a lot of fun with it. Brad Klopfenstein, and I are having a gas.
Find it on Facebook and Twitter. Merritt in the morning. You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kendall Casey Show, 93 WIBC.
Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. Rocky Mountain.
You can't
High.
See him in concert, but there's a lot of good acts that are coming to Ruoff this summer. I'm looking at the list here. You've got Hozier and Hootie and the Blowfish, James Taylor, Dierks Bentley.
Who was that first person?
Hozier.
Hozier.
What?
He's from Ireland, I think. Oh. He's like an Irish kind of, is he R&B or more like alternative rock?
Alternative, I would say. Yeah. Kind of in that genre.
Oh.
You got Dave Matthews Band coming, Third Eye Blind, Train.
Uh-huh.
Here's one that may be up your alley. You've got Red Hot Chili Peppers. What about Styx and Foreigner? They're coming.
Oh. You want to start that?
Alanis Morissette.
It's 9:51 in the morning. You want to start the Styx and Foreigner conversation again?
No, Doobie
you
Brothers.
Ready?
Pearl Jam, Sammy Hagar. How about Sammy Hagar? Skinnerd? ZZ Top?
Look, here is my thing with the, and it's going to tie into this next segment, which is the tickets are simply too expensive, and much of it relates not to the artist itself. And so I've just opted out of going to live events anymore because these fees, they always call them fees, right? Mm-hmm. Between the fees and the taxes, it's just cost prohibitive to go to a show.
Isn't fee just another name for tax?
Well, it
though?
Is, right?
It's just dressed up a little differently.
Well, but I mean, and so this is it is believed now that the Department of Justice is indeed, they've launched an antitrust lawsuit into Live Nation and Ticketmaster, and it is believed they're actually going to, I believe, formally sue them for anti-competitive behavior and practices. And look, the ticket industry is a mess. And the ticket industry, for many people, the fees have now made it cost prohibitive to be able to go see your favorite artist. Like if you look at your ticket when you buy it or buy it online or whatever, you will see that a huge portion of that final cost has nothing to do with the actual ticket price itself. And that's where they'll get you. You know, I'm sure many people have seen this before where it's like, I'm just making up numbers here. Obviously, it's $25 to sit on the lawn to see Rod Stewart. And you might say to yourself, that seems pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll get four. And then it's your final ticket price is $73 a ticket. What the hell is this? Mm-hmm. I thought it was $25. And then there's this fee and this tax and that tax. And then people are like, screw this. I thought it was going to be $100. And now it's going to be $250.
The interesting thing about this is, so you mentioned the Department of Justice preparing this antitrust lawsuit. They say it's because of, you know, the tickets, the bots, the fee structure, the lack of transparency, all of it. But it was back in 2010 where they said, yeah, go ahead, Live Nation and Ticketmaster, go ahead and merge. And now they're coming back saying, wait a minute, this is a monopoly. You can't do that.
Well, and so you just hit the nail on the head, Casey, which is the government allowed the problem to exist. Now that people are outraged, the government's like, well, we must do something about this problem that we allowed to exist. And look, the arenas are in on this, right? The venues are in on this. They're getting portions of the proceeds. They cut deals with these companies, and then they get a kickback on it. So they're making money off the process as well. You know, this is no longer the good old days where the best fan who will camp outside, you know, Karma Records or whatever it was back in the day, will get the best seat because they're willing to put 8 hours of their life into making sure they're front row for Aerosmith. That's just it's not how it works anymore. It is a huge money game. It is a profiteering game, and they're not interested in whether actual fans are getting the tickets.
Well, a big part of the problem is the bots as well. And you're in a waiting room. You do it all online. You're waiting, not in front of a store.
Well, and now they're doing this.
Phone.
What do they call it? Something pricing.
Dynamic pricing.
Yep. You know, what's funny is I was cleaning some stuff out the other day. I found a floor ticket. I ended up being in about the third row from a Bruce Springsteen concert in 2012 that I went to at the Yum Center in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
The face value of that ticket price was $94. And I remember that was like, oh my gosh, I guess I got to pay it.
Yeah.
That ticket now, because of that dynamic pricing stuff, those floor seats, it's a $3,000 or $4,000 ticket In 10 years, it's changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Ticketmaster, of course, saying, we don't set the prices. That's set by the artists and the teams. And if it's high demand or low demand.
It's always someone else's fault, Casey.
And the fees go to the venues. Yes, it is always someone else's fault, isn't it? You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Rocky Mountain High.